worship and service in the Peoria community. Thank you so much for joining us. And as we come here, we just want to take a moment to forget about ourselves and concentrate on us. We just take a moment and we lift up our voice saying, I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice. Exalt thee. There's no God like you. You are exalted high above the earth, and yet you are mindful of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for sustaining us and bringing us one more day in the land of the living. While we got breath in our lungs, we're able to worship you and just say thank you, God, for being an awesome God, being a mighty God. You brought us a mighty long way. Oh, God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Search our hearts, almighty God, so that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be accepted, Lord, in thy sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 We're going to continue in our order of worship as our inspirational choir is going to come in and march us in. You're welcome to come and join us and worship as they lead us in.
Greetings, everyone, and happy birthday, Zion, as we celebrate our 145th anniversary right here at Zion. Giving honor to God this morning and to our own Pastor Samuel Dern and to the First Lady Stacy, First Lady of Zion's sister Stacy, and to our visiting pastor and to his church and to his musical ministry. Good morning to all of you and to my entire audience. Good morning to you. You know, I just couldn't. I'm getting ready to start this in just a second, but you want to give me a minute. Because I came out and drove my truck up this morning. I couldn't help but see, oh, how nice our church looked this morning. We want to congratulate. We're here this morning to congratulate God for our 145th anniversary. We're going to congratulate and thank the auxiliaries we had this morning for the sign that was outside. The flowers. Our church looked nicer. Went downstairs. Our church looked nice. And it looked nicer when our visitors come. Welcome to you, too. We want our church to look nice for you. All right. So we're giving God all the honor this morning. And we're giving praise. But we didn't do it by ourselves. We got here with 145 years ups and downs. Sometimes more downs and more ups. Hard times, good times. But anyway, this morning, we're here at the celebrate Zion's 145th year, and I'm going to get started. As we begin our special occasion, let me introduce to you this lady to you, post-mortem, of course. Her name is Miss Patsy Emma Butley. our founder. Mrs. Butler organized the church in 1879 from her home on Green Street with just a few followers. The next place of worship was just a small room in the basement of a downtown post office building, better known as the Pooter Ball Building. We stayed there for approximately 3 years. As the membership continued to grow, a wood frame church would be built and dedicated in 1892. In 1895, a brick church was built and dedicated on 7th and State Street here. In March of the same year, our founder, 1895, Mrs. Butler passed away in Chicago. Zion Baptist Church conducted worship services in this building for the brick building now, for the next 69 years. While Miss Butler did not live to see her fruits of her labor, her legacy lives on, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Amen. The cornerstone for this facility we're in today was laid in 1964. Their first sermon was preached by the first pastor that came here, Reverend McKinley Calhoun, and he called him the Butler. As McCalhoun, in 1967, Pastor McCalhoun left his ministry. A number of pastors were called to serve Zion, some with greater longevity than others. Pastor Rob McCoy served his church for 14 years. Dr. Cleo Brand served with 15 years. Pastor Michael Hart served 1 year, and it was called home at that time. As time has moved forward, it's given us a good essence on our church. The pastor who is serving this church now is Pastor Samuel Thomas Dern, which soon become the 33rd pastor and the second youngest pastor to lead Zion. He is in his 16th year as our shepherd. May God continue blessing our young pastor, Pastor Dern. From 1964 to 2024, we've worshiped in this effort for 60 years. We thank God for his grace, and we thank God for his blessing. We thank God for his mercy that he's given us to be able to come here in this place. Yeah. As all the honor and all the glory belongs to God for bringing us this far to this year's celebration. We're nearing the end of our journey, but we just want to give God all the praises. Lift him up and thank him for this 145 years that he has lived to me. So this will be the conclusion of this year's history presentation. I do thank you for listening, and it's been my pleasure to bring to you the history of Zion Baptist Church. I thank you.
Got the proclamation coming up next.
We really are a cornerstone in our community, making a difference, building a greater community with great leadership. Pastor Sam Durin is a wonderful individual as well as a great religious and community leader. So I just want to thank him and the church for all that you do for our community and pray that you have many, many years of service within Peoria.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A couple of technological challenges. I don't know why my long-distance mouse isn't working, but we'll work through it. And I'm going to read the proclamation from the Office of the Mayor, the City of Peoria, And it reads, whereas on April 27, 1879, Mrs. Emma Butler, a former slave, opened her home on Green Street for prayer. She led meetings for a few faithful believers in Christ. And whereas worship services were moved in 1880 to the basement of the post office on the corner of Main and Monroe Street, then known as the Putterball Building. And whereas on April 4th, 1880, trustees Jerry M. Webb, Benjamin Early, and Abraham Carver adopted the corporate name of Zion Baptist Church. The meeting notes were filed on April 5th, 1880 by Reverend Archie Ward, H. Wedwich, Notary Public. And whereas due to the growing membership of Zion Baptist Church, the congregation needed to secure a permanent location, fundraisers were held, and on July 2, 1895, the cornerstone for a new building was laid on the corner of 7th and State Streets under the leadership of Reverend F.W. Pinnock. The debt for the new building was retired in 1918. And whereas during the Civil Rights era, Zion Baptist Church experienced much growth. On October 23, 1962, Sister Emil Glover made a motion to initiate the construction of a new Zion Baptist Church building on the present site of 323 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. Subsequently, the church mortgage was burned in 1988, and whereas Zion Baptist Church has been served by 33 shepherds and numerous lay and associate ministers, within the 145-year history of the church, noteworthy recognition has been given to Reverend Dr. Romeo B. Garrett, associate minister, and Reverend Cleo Brand during the tenure of Pastor Michael Hart, 2002 to 2005. He initiated the mission for Zion Baptist Church to become the greatest loving church in the world, and current pastor Samuel T. Duren, 2006 to present, broadened the mission to include building a better community. And whereas Zion Baptist Church has been the spiritual home of many congregants, pastors, associate pastors, and lay persons not here in name, their long-term legacy of caring for the physical and spiritual needs of the Peoria community has endured for over 145 years. All glory be to God that Zion Baptist Church is still communicating the good news of the truth of God and will continue doing so until our Lord returns. Now, therefore, I, Rita Ali, Mayor of the City of Peoria, Illinois, do hereby recognize the 141st anniversary of Zion Baptist Church in Peoria, Illinois, and that's dated this 28th day of April 2024 and signed by Mayor Rita Ali. Amen. Now, I'm going to be brief, but probably each one of you probably received a challenge coin. I'm assuming, did that happen? No, not yet? Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about the challenge coin, and we'll be passing those out here shortly, I'm sure. This challenge coin is traditionally used by the military to represent a service members belonging to their chosen branch or unit, and these days challenge coins have significance in many other arenas. It's a pocket-sized medallion, and it can be used to honor an individual for their special achievement, or to commemorate a special event, or even to boost group morale. And this is a tradition, some say, that started during the Roman campaigns that they were doing that. Some historians say it started in World War I, but it's also been used by all the services. The police departments use those. The presidents have their coin, and I've noticed that a number of churches have used their coin. Now, the particular coin that we had made is embossed on the head side with our mission, building a better community through the love of Jesus Christ. And this is accomplished by obeying the commands of Jesus Christ in Matthew 22:37-40. And when he was talking to the Pharisee, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on those two commandments. And the challenge, therefore, is for us to daily live a life controlled by the Spirit and not the flesh, and living to what Jesus Christ told us were the greatest commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and your neighbor as yourself. That makes the what's on the tail side even easier, which, I don't know if it's, yep, it's up there. We list vision, and our vision is building a better community that will one day be perfected by our Lord and Savior. Okay, we can't build a perfect community here, but we know that Christ is planning a perfect community. And whenever I see this picture of, it's actually the Peoria skyline in the center of the coin, I'm reminded of the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. So one day we will be perfected. And then holiness is one of the key concepts on our key, and there were five principles associated to that. And those five principles are the study of God's Word, prayer, worship, service, and stewardship. Okay, and I won't go into detail on any of that, but we all know those principles, and we should live up to those. And then the other side is forever. And the Good Shepherd in John 10:27-28 assures us that we will never perish. So we are God's forever people. And that begins once you believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So that's God's his promise to us. So that is the concept behind the challenge coin. So when you receive your challenge coin, contemplate on those things. Remember to live for the Spirit and not the flesh. Amen?
Amen. As we continue on now in our program, we're going to have Deacon Cookson to come forward and to give us a scripture reading this morning as we prepare to hear a word from God. Amen. Amen. And so as he's making his way here, we want to have your Bibles out. You can get ready to be in the New Testament, 1 John, 4th chapter, looking at verses 11 to 21. Pastor Tyson Parks is going to come forward to preach. So after the reading of the scripture, we're going to be blessed by their music ministry, amen, and then by this great leader, this great servant that serves this community. Some of you may know or seen Pastor Parks maybe on the news, on the TV, as he's one of the chaplains in our community trying to help to continue to minister and mentor and reach out to our hurting and our people and supporting our police. They're trying to continue to be safe within our community. So we thank God for his leadership investing in our community, and also, too, he's a successful coach and a wrestling team as well, too. 2 years now?
Yep.
2 years with Eureka and coaching the team, and they got, was it second in state?
Second in the conference.
Second in the conference. Amen, amen. They couldn't get it without this coach, right? I'm going to tell you that. There's a coach.
Got coaching staff of the year.
Amen, amen, amen. So this morning, amen, we're going to be blessed by this awesome, mighty man of God that's going to come to lead with their amazing church, Bethel United Methodist Church, and their music ministry. After we get the reading of the scripture, Deacon Cook's going to come forward, amen. And then after this reading of scripture, the choir can transition for the music ministry to come forward. Appreciate it.
Amen. Good morning, church.
Morning.
Pastor said, our scripture reading will be coming from the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 21. It is just so good to see everybody here this morning. Good to have Bethel in the house with us this
Amen.
Morning. We certainly thank them, and we thank the pastor for coming and bringing us the word this morning.
Amen.
I will be reading from the book of 1 John, but my order will be a little bit different. If you have the New Living in front of you, I will be reading from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the New Testament. I'll be coming out of the New Testament this morning. King James Version this morning. New Testament of King James this morning. Thank you, Pastor. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, and it reads, verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath towards us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he hath loved not his brother whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. I've just read to you from the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 21. May God add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you're changing my love. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord on today. 145 years. This church has stood as a beacon of light in the community.
To God be the glory.
Not talking about the physical edifice. I'm talking about the body of believers that came together, the ecclesia. To God be the glory. And we all make up. You, us, Bethel. We all make up the ecclesia, the church.
Yes, yes.
Jesus died for the church.
Well.
And so when I'm talking today, I know it's y'all anniversary, but I'm talking to all y'all.
All right.
Everybody. Me too. And if this is your first time getting to know me, I'm just practical. I'm just practical. And I thank God for what he's done in my life.
Mm.
He called me from darkness into his marvelous light.
My God.
I have a responsibility and an obligation to tell a dying world about a living Savior.
Well.
For the believers, I'm here to encourage you on this journey called life. Now, if you would just bear with me a minute, I want y'all to do something for me. Those of you who are able to stand, stand. And if you're not able, don't worry about it. Just slide. Now, take one step to your right, one step back. Now have a seat. Now when you leave up out of here today, you can say, Pastor Park sure did move me by the power of the living God. It's not about us, it's about Jesus.
All right.
But in homiletics, there's this thing called the move with purpose. We want the word to drive you, amen.
Well.
Just having a little fun.
All right.
As I say all the time at Bethel, we're not the church of the frozen chosen. Because sometimes we sit up in church and we look stiff. How is somebody going to be attracted to where you look sad and miserable? Did he wake you up this morning?
Yeah.
Did he start you on your way?
Yeah.
I'm reminded of Dr. DeWitt Proctor said, when we come together in the worship experience, it is about the trials and tribulations that we went through the week, and God spared us and allowed us to come to the house of worship and prayer. And I'm grateful today.
All right.
I don't look like what I've been through.
All right now.
But I thank God for Jesus.
Well.
Because we can draw strength from him. And there's power in the name of Jesus.
Well.
If you would just indulge me just a minute, I don't consider myself a singing preacher. I just like to give God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a worshiper.
Well.
Jesus. What's his name, y'all? Jesus. What's his name, y'all?
Jesus is his name.
He's holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. What's his name, y'all?
Jesus is his name.
He's righteous, righteous.
Righteous, righteous.
He's righteous.
Righteous, righteous, righteous.
He's righteous.
Righteous, righteous, righteous.
What's his name, y'all?
Jesus is his name.
I had a brother who was sick. He's a healer, healer, healer.
Well.
Healer.
Testify.
Healer. What's his name, y'all?
Jesus is his name.
He's holy.
Holy.
He's holy.
Holy.
He's holy.
Holy.
What's his name, y'all?
Jesus.
There's power in that name. There's healing in that name. What's his name, y'all? Father God, it's preaching time. Time where Tyson Parks decrease and the manifestation of your precious Holy Spirit, the true preacher, come forth. Hide me behind the cross. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. You are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Every heart says amen.
Amen.
The sermon text was read to you. And I just want to invite your attention back to 1 John, this epistle, this letter.
Mm-hmm.
The Johannine epistle. John is also the author of 2nd and 3rd John,
mm-hmm.
and Revelation, of apocalyptic literature,
mm-hmm.
telling of the end times, but also the gospel. And he had to deal with some things, just like we deal with things in this contemporary society.
Mm-hmm.
Pervasive doctrines. It's important that we have sound doctrine, sound dogma. For good orthopraxy leads to good orthodoxy leads to good orthopraxy. Sound doctrine, good practice, right living.
Mm-hmm.
That is important. Not that we just gloss over this, but we apply it to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That is important. I'm not up here to make you feel good. I'm here to give you the unadulterated word of God to help us
well.
On this journey called life.
Mm-hmm.
So John, as he authored this epistle, there's some pastoral instruction in telling the believers how they need to be living and telling them in whom they put their trust. It's Christological because he gives perfect examples and illustrations of who Jesus is. And how many of you out there know that this is always about Jesus?
Well.
So I invite your attention back to that fourth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at verses 11 through 21. You'll find these words penned by the Apostle John, the beloved disciple. And I know it's customary for you to stand. We don't go in anybody else's house trying to rearrange their furniture. We're going to stand on this word. Amen?
Yeah.
Starting at verse 11, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
No man hath seen God at any time.
Mm.
If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Mm-hmm.
Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have been and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Mm.
Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him.
Well.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Mm-hmm.
We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And I want to use for a subject thought, God's love remains and is complete in us.
Well.
God's love remains and is complete in us.
Yes,
you may be seated.
Amen. Preach.
1 John was written to refute forms of Gnosticism, a form of Gnosticism known as Doceticism, and also asceticism, people trying to work out their salvation. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. You can't earn a free gift.
Mm.
It is important that we know that, because a lot of churches, people think because they do church work and they're doing churchy things that they're going to be all right. No, it's not about our performance. It's about Christ's performance at Calvary.
Well,
and other scholars say that this was written to the believers to give assurance of their salvation in the resurrected Christ. We have assurance. That is our blessed hope. If Christ had not died and rose from the dead, we would be lost without hope. But we have a blessed hope. So John, who better to author this epistle, because he was right there with Jesus.
Well.
He was a beloved disciple. He was on the inner circle of Jesus. He was tight with Jesus. He even refers to himself as the beloved. He had to have an intimate relationship with the Master. John was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw a glorified Christ even before he rose from the dead, because he changed. He saw it. He was an eyewitness to that.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for him to be the apostle, what was requisite that an apostle had to come in contact with the resurrected Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is real, is relevant, and you can rely on it. I like alliteration. It helps me to remember. It's real, it's relevant, and you can rely on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, just so I'm not pulling anything out of context, when you read 1 John, the first chapter, there's three things that God is. God is love.
Well.
God is light.
Uh-huh.
And God is light.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you know, the world is in darkness. Mm-hmm. They need light, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But brothers and sisters, we are the light that's supposed to be shining in the world. We represent Christ.
Yes.
We got to let our light shine.
Come on, preach.
This little light of mine,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to let it shine. Y'all been letting your light shine for 145 years.
Mm.
In the midst of a pagan culture, because trust me, there's nothing new under the sun. There was a pagan, hedonistic culture in the first century, and still some of those same things, and then drifted over into this contemporary society, and have been normalized and legalized.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to stand on foundational truth, and we must be sanctified, set apart. We're different from the world.
Well.
You and we're different from the world. As I said, the fundamental doctrine of the resurrection is an absolute essential.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, John didn't have apostolic authority.
Mm.
And the fact that he had apostolic authority, that all hinged on the important fact that Christ came in the flesh, was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose on the third day. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's why we come Sunday after Sunday, day after day. When we get up, it's about the good news of the gospel. We're to tell a dying world about a living Savior.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, you got to have a love relationship. You got to have an intimate relationship with the Master. You know, I said God is love.
Well.
Loves in spite of our sin-sick ways, in spite of what our foreparents did, in spite of the sin that you and I commit by thought, word, and deed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pride is a sin. Y'all look good. Y'all some beautiful people, by the way. But when we get puffed up with pride, we start turning our nose up and go, we better be careful.
Yeah, have mercy, oh God.
Be careful. It's not about being prideful. Remember that happened in heaven. The sin originated in heaven with Lucifer, son of the morning. The shining one, he was prideful. Pride goeth before fall. My sisters and brothers, it is important that we understand we cannot live a life that is contaminated and a life that is full of compromise When you do that, you'll brush God's moral standards and principles. You'll brush it to the side because you think you're doing this in your own power.
My God.
Holiness is key. Scriptural holiness, and that involves grace as well.
Yeah.
Where would any of us be without the grace of God in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make it by yourself. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. God did.
Yeah.
There's an old song say, everything that happened to me that was good, God did.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. Time to mess some stuff up. But I don't have to be perfect. I can put my trust in a perfect Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, John giving pastoral instruction on how believers ought to live in a perverse world that is full of compromise and full of pervasive doctrines.
Mm-hmm.
My sisters and brothers, that spirit of Antichrist was running rampant then, and is running rampant now. We have gone so far, and I'm talking about society,
mm-hmm.
to categorize and reclassify what sin is.
Mm.
Now, let me give you the definition of sin. For he who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's James 4:17.
Mm.
Maya Angelou said it like this, when you know better, you got to do better.
Mm.
But when we try to reclassify and recategorize sin, that's a stench in the nostrils of God.
My God.
It is important, and I'm not pulling this out of context, because if you flip back to the first chapter, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins,
mm-hmm.
he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Let me help somebody. Unrepentant, unregenerate sin and unbelief will send you straight to hell. I know we said a bad word. We don't want to preach about hell no more.
Come on, help us preach.
When you are unregenerate, that means you keep doing the same old thing over and over again, and you ain't even got on your knees to pray and ask for forgiveness. Those contrary lifestyles. You know, when God regenerates you, he changes some things in your life. You know, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'm living for Jesus. Until he comes. Now, I ain't always been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Pastor Parks used to do some slip, tipping, and dipping. Some sipping and tripping too. But you know what? When he got a hold of me, he changed some things in my life. I'm not the same. I'm not what I always be. But I'm not what I used to be. And I thank God that his love saved me.
Yeah.
And I'm remaining and abiding in that love.
Well.
Now, when you read this epistle in its entirety, in that first chapter, it also talks about him being pre-existent,
mm-hmm.
pre-incarnate,
mm-hmm.
and preeminent.
Mm-hmm.
He is the standard. Jesus is the standard. He identified with us in every way. He condescended. He came down. He stepped out of the portals of heaven, stepped out of eternity into time and took on flesh. He was the light that shined in darkness. But guess what? The darkness didn't want nothing to do with the light.
Mm.
Isn't that the condition of the world today?
Sorry.
You know, I used to work a secular job, and I'd be a little perky. And you know that would tweak some people? They get upset. You so happy about it. You drunk? I say, yeah, I got this Jesus juice. You want some? You probably need some. But the thing about it is, my brothers and sisters, that's the world. That's the world system. We're in the world, but we're not to partake of the world system. We're governed by God, the moral precepts and principles. Sisters and brothers, there's a great Bible commentator by the name of Warren Wiersbe who said it this way. Either in this contemporary age, either we master the culture, or the culture will master us. And how many times do you find yourself compromising? Because everybody else is doing it, and the world says it's okay. And we'll even get a little scripture and try to justify our foolishness.
My.
I had to do it too, and I had to digest it. Because loving your neighbor, hoo-wee. Loving those who despitefully use you. I've been pastoring 19 years now. I know a little something about this. Everybody just Sunday loves it.
Come on now.
But that's all right. Mm-hmm. We are still commanded to love. Yes, unconditional. Now, when we dig a little deep and we understand what love is, God's love for us isn't like the world's. There's four types of love in the New Testament. There is storge, which is a familial love, love for family. Then there's eros love, that's that erotic love, that sensual love, that desire to have you looking at something you ain't got no business looking at, that don't belong to you. You know, back in the old way, how you go in there making it rain, as the young folks say it, making it rain. Some of y'all don't know what that means. Well, let me help somebody. Some of y'all know who Billy Dee Williams is, don't you? And you looking at Billy on the screen. Some of you men have seen Halle Berry. Yeah. Other than your wife, when you lusting, that's erotic. But that's not the love that God has for us. Then there is a city in Pennsylvania named after this, Philadelphia. Phileo love, that brotherly love. But that's not the love that God has toward us in this passage. God's love is agape. Agape. Love unfeigned without hypocrisy. A love that is unconditional. He loved us in spite of ourselves. Romans 5:8 says, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That's the real love. I ain't talking about Mary J. Blige's real love. I'm talking about the real love that comes from above.
Well, he saw
we were in need of a savior.
Yeah.
God's love keeps us, sustains us. We've been set apart.
Mm-hmm.
His grace also is sufficient, and it lands
for us
in a world that's counterculture, in a world that is doing everything it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not standing for righteousness and holiness. Brothers and sisters, Paul reminds us in Hebrews 12:14 that we follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. You got to understand we must love, and that takes a power outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been wrong? You ever been lied on? The old church said, I've been buked, I've been scorned, I've been talked about, but you know what? We are to love. That don't mean I got to trust everybody, but we are commanded to love. The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy soul, with every fiber of my being. I love God and trust him, and to love my neighbor as myself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It was fulfilled through Jesus.
Yeah.
You gotta ask the Savior to help you. Even when that boss gets on your last nerve. Your spouse might be acting up. You might have some wayward kids, but you gotta love them in spite of themselves. And I thank God for what he's done for me. I was a mixed up, messed up somebody, but his love kept me. God's love remains and is complete in us.
Yeah.
Us. The church.
Mm-hmm.
The XSC. This is good news for all of us.
Yeah.
You don't have to be perfect. All you got to do is put your trust in a perfect Savior. He fixes up what we mess up. Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm down. I'm level to the ground. But I call on Jesus.
Well,
and he can make a difference.
Come on.
Why? Because he loves me. And I love him because he first loved me. Come with me. Storm clouds may rise. Billows may roll. But I know who anchors my soul. And my soul is anchored in Jesus.
Well.
I bless him on today. Because he did what I could not do for myself. But you know, in this pervasive world, with all of the pervasive and strange doctrines, dogmas, and religions, I know we're supposed to be all inclusive now. But you got to be careful with that, my sisters and brothers. The doctrine of inclusion is a damnable heresy. You know why? Because all roads don't lead, do they? Jesus is not just the good way. He's not just the great way.
He's not just the gateway. He's the only way. And if you need reference, turn to John 14 and 6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to see Jesus, you've got to live right. You must be saved from all your sins. Go back to that first chapter. Marvel not, you must be, got to be, born again. That means regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I thank God for what he's done in my life. I'm here to help you on this journey. Maybe you're teeter-totter along, in and out, vacillating in and out of sin. God's love is for you. God's love remains and is complete in us. Us, the church. I, you, me, we. We all need Jesus. Yeah. And his love and his grace is sufficient. Guess what with that grace? It never runs out. Mm-hmm. You might charge up your credit card, but you got an account that's paid in full. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, God loves you just enough. Yeah. He loves you just enough that he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to Calvary to save us.
Yeah.
Like you and me. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. And for me and you 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 and all y'all out there on Facebook, on the stream, he died.
Yeah.
Yes, he died.
Yeah.
But that's not how the story is.
Come on.
People get upset. Oh, why do you always got to talk about Jesus? Don't you know this is an old story that never grows old?
Yeah.
If somebody comes to you with a new gospel, guess what you got to do? You better run. Get out of the way. Tell the devil, get behind me. And even if you invite them into your house, if you flip over the second time, it talks about that. Don't invite them in. You got the Mormons, they got it messed up. You got the Jehovah's Witnesses, they got it messed up. You got Buddha and Confucius, they got it messed up. I need Jesus every step of the way on life's journey. When I feel like falling out, he catches you. When you fall, he makes a difference. He makes a crooked path. I thank God for Jesus. He saved me.
Yes,
he set me free.
Yes,
but they crucified my Savior.
Yes.
And he stayed in the barn too. You know why he was barn? Because he knew he wasn't going to stay there forever. And when he got up. It wasn't some power. It wasn't half power. It wasn't full power. It wasn't black power. And it wasn't white power. And it sure wasn't Trump power. It was power that comes from on high. Wonder working power, transforming power. I thank God for Jesus. He abides in me, and I abide in him. I'm reminded of this old hymn that says it like this: be not dismayed. Whatever betide you, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings, love abide. He will take care of you. Won't he rock you late in the midnight hour? If you call on him, you call him in the morning. You can call him in the middle of the night. And when you call him, he'll make everything all right. He's the difference. And I'm glad today that I know Jesus in the pardoning of my sins. And I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Give the Lord a hip clap of praise. Has he been good to you? Has it been good to me? Has it made a way out of no way? I call on him. I thank God for Jesus. He is the difference in my life. Have you ever been sick in your body racked with pain? You call on him, and he'll never turn his back on you. He loves you. Zion, the Bethel family loves you. We stopped by here today to tell you and to encourage you that God's love remains and is complete in us. The church, the ecclesia, I need you and you need me. We are all a part of God's body. This is the body of Christ, the manifestation of his in the earth, friend. I don't worry about the man. I don't worry about who the next president is going to be. Why? Because my health, all of my health Lord, because he loved me. I'm glad today. Get out of here, Jeff. I'm glad. Oh, it's in me. But I gotta go. I feel my ass coming up. And I thank you.
Yes,
sisters and brothers, on this journey called life, there are going to be hard times, trials, and tribulations. Just a point of personal privilege. I didn't know if I was going to say it today. This has been one of the hardest weeks of my life. And I hear some pastors say, well, you shouldn't give a personal testimony. That's a lie. Don't you know we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? Because somebody might be going through something. You can help them. You got to push your way through. There's obstacles, there's trials. My baby brother had some neurological issues in his brain. He's a pastor. He's a bivocational pastor. Like somebody, I saw something that resonated with me and kind of triggered me. It was, I don't know if it was an article or a post, but it made sense. It said, pastors may be going through their own personal trauma and they're trying to help somebody. Well, I tell you, being at that hospital with my baby brother and him, he was incoherent. And I'm a survivor of an intracranial cerebral brain hemorrhage, so I knew that was hereditary. Didn't know how bad it was. He spent a week up at OSF, St. Francis Neurological Ward. But I'm grateful to God that he has restored him. He's not 100%, but God's love will keep him. And my mother was there for every waking moment. He's 45 years old. That's agape love. You know, the story, that's what your family, but see, we had family, but all family didn't come up there. Mama stayed. Mama prayed. We wouldn't be here today. And so I share that to tell you, no matter what you're going through, God is greater than your circumstance. If you came today and you pushed your way through, you know what? Today is the day of salvation, and harden not your heart. And we can pray with you and for you. I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. I wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen.
Because God's love.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's love.
Mm-hmm.
We got to abide in it, and it is complete in us. You got to trust him. You got to believe that he can heal your hurting heart. God bless you.
Praise God for that word and ministry came forward. There might be someone here who's heard the word of Jesus and wants to give their life to Christ. Those who may be looking for a church home, we have two churches representing here, the Church of the Body of Christ. And if you want to be discipled and baptized and celebrate the community, we want to welcome you here in this place. And we minister to the word of the love, of Jesus' love. We've been ministered through that. We just sing the chorus, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you.
May you rise.
For I love
you. Might be someone here as you stand, maybe each one to come through the field. It might be you today. We extend a hand of discipleship.
I love you, Jesus, I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, for I love you more than.
Is the wholesome amen, and the God Zion Junior Us is holding amen. So y'all follow the instructions of the Us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. As the disciples said after Jesus left them on the road of Emmaus, didn't our hearts burn? Amen. As we went through the scriptures with us, Pastor Parks, thank you for sharing your personal testimony, allowing God to use you to minister to us through how we are able to be sustained as we remain in God's love. Amen. How He completes us. Amen. Can you minister to your neighbor one more time and say, God completes us? Amen. Amen. And so we're going to stand. We're going to do our doxology to prepare for the benediction. But also there's some refreshments downstairs. So we want to encourage everybody to come down and to have a time of celebration and continue the fellowship. Then we get some little sweets. So it's not a meal. So you might still want to go get some tea. But you can spend some time down and get you something sweet down there and enjoy each other's company. Amen. Amen. Thank you for our trusted chairperson, amen. We can't pay the minister, but we want to bless the minister, amen, for allowing God to use him. So we ask you to receive this on behalf of Zion Baptist. And so lastly, just remarks, I just want to say, I grew up here in Zion, so it's a blessing to serve here as pastor of Zion and to know the great, rich history here. As a kid, I didn't know how good I had it. Many giants walked this corner. I learned before we know his name after Dr. Martin Luther King, it was 7th and State. And some of y'all know 7th and State is what this was, but all these number streets, right? So all these number streets have been renamed, but 7th and State, Zion has been right here on 7th and State. I was told State Street went all the way down to the waterfront. I was told that there was nothing but houses and neighborhoods around this church. That there was a hill across, and the mansion, or the pastor's mansion, was across the street on the hill where we now have the neighborhood. I want you to know that this place, and then another thing I want you to know that this was my privilege growing up there. Big John Barbecue was on the corner. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, there was a gravel lot in between Big John Barbecue. Why do I remember that gravel lot? Because I would sneak out that side door. I was straight across that lot, and I was spending my Sunday school offering money to go give me some fries and some candy from Big John Barbecue. And Big John would come up, put his hand on my head, and say, "You come back now, you hear?" I feel like a big kid going to see Big John. And to know that this was a community here, and that is still here after 145 years, and knowing that we have giants of leadership gone through great things that came through this area. And we mentioned it with them, you know, Dr. Romy B. Gary, first African American professor, you know, at Bradley University. And then they have a school named after his sister, Dr. Maud A. Sanders, right? Just to think about some of the things that just one of those highlights we have here at Zion. So we just thank God for the history. And so we have a display out there. You might look and see the cornerstone, the work of the things that have been done. And I just want to brag on Zion one more time, and we're going to be out here. Because, you know, we have a sister church, Mount Zion Baptist Church. They celebrate the same anniversary. But I just want y'all to know that their history splits in around 1920. But I want you to know that they started here. That is what added. They can still celebrate 145 years, too, but we still in the same space. As the history points out, so I like that phone with my sister church. And so let us rise and prepare to do our doxology. And as before we do the doxology, I'm going to pray and bless the food. Father, we ask to bless the reception of food for our nourishment. Father, we thank you for the hands that prepared it, and thank you for the blessing to attain it, and bless our time and our fellowship together. In Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. May we sing the doxology together.
Father, loving, all wise, almighty God, as you leave this place, we have in your presence. May the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit guide us, direct, and keep us until we all meet again. All God, to the sin together. Oh! Come on down and shake the preacher's hand.